I Oh, my friend. When the heart was filled with anger, if you think to pray, if you think for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who has crossed your way. When some trials came upon you, if you think to pray, when your soul was bowed in sorrow, Mama Gilder did you borrow at the gates of
when my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, and I cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord.
Time to continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching. And we welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today. We appreciate your presence and the effort you've made to come out to worship with us. We're sorry to hear just a few minutes ago, Sister Nancy Mosley says that she has colon cancer. And She's requested prayer for her, and we certainly solicit an interest in your prayers on her behalf. We are sorry to hear that, but if there's any good news at all, it's been detected early. So that sure is encouraging. I know my father had colon cancer, and it didn't show up on the x-rays, and they took out his gallbladder. Thought that was his problem. Then they later on found the cancer, but he was so weak. He was in his 80s when that happened, and so they said they were going to have to build him up before they could operate, and they never could do that. But the doctor said it would have been no problem of taking it out if they had found it. And so that's good news. We're glad to find out that it's detected early, and hope that maybe it can be removed and you'll have a speedy recovery. We sure will try to pray to that end. Is there any other sickness that we need to make mention of? I know I think I've mentioned my brother before. He's in terrible shape, and we talked to his wife last night on the phone, and he's not doing too well. Seems like he's got a contrary spirit or something. He don't cooperate too much with the rehab, and so I don't know what will take place, but sounds like that he's that as far as they can, as far as his wife knows, that his foot, where they took his toe off, is doing all right so far. But the question is going to be is whether it's going to heal or not, since the places wouldn't heal. But it's stays bandaged up so much. She said she's one of those persons that faints if she sees a lot of blood. So she's really not seen his foot, she said. So it's we don't know really what kind of shape it's in, but she says, as far as the doctors say, it's doing all right.
Dr. Mike mentioned Elder Wallace Smith. He's not doing well at all. He's having trouble swallowing, and he's getting weaker and weaker, and it doesn't seem too good for him. So I'm sure his family
appreciate
remembering him in
prayer. We certainly will. And see, I guess he's seen the doctor about that and still can't.
Yes, he's been in and out of the hospital several times.
Oh.
He's having cancer. They may be able to put feeding tubes in, but he's gotten mighty weak in the last few weeks, in the last few days. Looking good at all.
I'm certainly sorry to hear that. Brother Keith, let's sing number 45. Did you have one already picked out?
173.
Okay, we'll sing 173. And which we'll endeavor to go to the Lord in prayer, and we certainly covet an interest in your prayers. Hope you'll be blessed to pray for me and for the sick, and that the Lord will bless us as we look into his word, that he will come and be with us and bless us, and that we might truly worship in spirit and in truth. Sing, brethren, when you're ready.
Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home under the shadow of thy throne, still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou my guide while life shall last, and our eternal home.
Our most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we humbly bow in thy presence. Desire our Father to come before thy great throne of grace and to spread our prayers and supplications, believing our Father that thou would hear the prayer of the contrite, not for our sake, O Lord, but for our Lord Jesus' sake, who loved us and gave himself for us, that he might deliver us from thy wrath and from our sins, from which we have committed against thee. Our Father and our gracious Lord and Master, it is we trust in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the great triune God, that we come to this place today to humbly bow before thee and to worship and to praise thy great name. We thank thee, O God, for thy tender mercies and the loving kindnesses that thou hast drawn us unto thyself. We thank you, dear Lord, for thy church, the pillar and ground of the truth, the church of the living God. We thank thee, our Father, that thou didst set up the church and our Lord Jesus, that we might have this privilege of coming to thee and to worshiping thee in this low ground of sin and sorrow. Lord, we thank thee for each household that's here today at the Lindsay Street Primitive Baptist Church, a place long set aside to the worship and the praise of thy great name. Lord, we thank thee as we hear the testimonies of those that's been coming here for years of the spiritual blessings that they've received and enjoyed, and speak of those times when thy servants had great liberty to preach thy unsearchable riches. Lord, once again, we know that thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever, and thy power and strength and love and wisdom is not diminished one whit. And we thank thee, our Father, that we can come to thee and call upon thee and pray, O Lord, for thou hast said to ask and we shall receive, to knock and it shall be opened, to seek and ye shall find. And Lord, we do these things this day according to thy word, and pray, Lord, that thou will be in our midst to own and to bless thy word, our Father, as we read and endeavor to speak upon those precious promises contained in thy word. Lord, we pray for the sick and afflicted, for Sister Nancy, for each and every one that's been mentioned here today, my brother. Lord, we pray that I would be with them in a time of need. We're thankful, dear Lord, that it is recorded that thou art the great physician. And we know, our Father, that there's nothing too hard for thee. So we pray, Lord, that thou would bless the efforts that the doctors and the nurses and the conveniences we have this day, that thou would bless them to the healing and the welfare of those that need, O Lord, thy mercy and grace. Lord, we pray for our rulers and our leaders as thou hast commanded us to. We pray for our sons and daughters on foreign soil that are jeopardizing their lives to protect our freedom. We realize, Lord, that we have enemies that would destroy our freedom and take from us this right to worship thee by the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou will preserve our liberties for thy name's sake. and that thou would grant us, O Lord, these continued liberties, that we might continue to worship and to praise thee in this place and in many places that is set up around about this wonderful country that thou hast blessed. Lord, these tender mercies we ask once more in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've turned to the book of John again today. We'd like to speak from the first verses of the book of John. We've read so many books and articles about this, the book of John, especially this first part. Men have tried to describe the wisdom contained in these few words, that's the opening words of the chapters of John, the Gospel of John, and they say it's just indescribable, and that only God could inspire so much wisdom to be displayed in so few words. And so we want to read a few verses, and I'm sure we're all familiar with them. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So some of the most tremendous words ever written describing the incarnate God, or God who became incarnate. And this scripture describes him not just as the Son of God, but as the Word. And it says that the Word was in the beginning with God. He didn't become the Word. He was already with God. He is the eternal Son of God. And he and his Father, he says, are one. And, of course, the Holy Spirit is one with them also. These three are equal in power and in wisdom and in life, in every attribute that's attributed to God. All three of them have it equally. There's not one above the other. And these three constitute the true and the living God. It says that everything that was made by the Word, or the Son of God. In other words, the triune God gave the Son of God, the Word, the power, authority, and wisdom to make everything that was made. There was not anything made that was not made by Him. And in Him is life. And this life is the light of men. And it says, this life lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And I understand that to mean that man or mankind has a kind of life that animals don't have. They have life, but they don't have this light, the life of light that was talking about here, that distinguishes a man from every other creature. Animals have life, and even trees and grass to an extent have life, but man, the thing that distinguishes a man from animals and other forms of life is that he knows good from evil. He knows wrong from right. An animal doesn't know that. But man is a moral creature, knowing good and evil. And therefore, he is able to receive commandments by words to not do this or to do this. And he is the only creature on the earth that inhabits the earth that is a moral creature, which distinguishes him from others. So this is a light of men that lighteth every man, woman, every human being that comes into the world has this light. And this enables them to have fellowship with their Creator and their God in a way that none of His other creatures do. And it says, but it gives us the sad news, is He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. So something terrible has happened, that a man made in the image of God, with the ability to fellowship God, when he would come into the world, they knew him not. Here we see the results of sin and the condition that man has plummeted to because of sin. It says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. From the day that Adam and Eve sinned, the commandment went out that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. And from that time on, there's been a seed in the world that has looked for the coming Messiah, seed of the woman, that would destroy the works of the devil. And the scripture says that he came into the world, he was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. And this is what he did do. He came to do, he did do it. He didn't try to do it, as some men say, but he accomplished his mission when he came into the world. When it says he came into his own, for hundreds of years, we just had the promise that he was coming. But after the flood, God picked out a family, beginning with Abraham. And he told Abraham that of his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And from that time on, a genealogy has been recorded of Abraham, where we have a genealogy from Adam right on, but especially from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have those members of families that were chosen of God by which the promised heir would come. And the others were rejected in that sense that they were not chosen for the promised seed to come through them. And I think it's noteworthy that if you, when God told Adam and Eve that they had access to everything in the garden that they needed and wanted, but there was one tree that they were told not to eat of, that the devil, who the Lord Jesus says was a liar from the beginning and the truth was not in him, denied that truth. In other words, he contended with God, really, when he told Adam and Eve, said, if you eat, you surely will not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, you will be like God. So he had a promise that exceeded that which God had promised, and which deceived Eve, and she did take and eat. And Adam, being a type of Christ, the scripture said he was not deceived, but he loved his wife, and he went into death with her. And in that sense, he was a type, the first Adam was a type of the last Adam, the last man, Christ. And so we have a picture from the very beginning of Christ rescuing his bride, loving his bride, from the very beginning of human history down until he came and, of course, was crucified for her. And if there's one word that would describe the theme of the Bible, it is redemption. It's portrayed, that is the one word that describes the theme of all scriptures. God has set about to redeem his people. That was a promise. And we waited 4,000 years for the seed of the woman to get here. And he did that which he was under contract to do, under covenant bonds to do. He came under covenant bonds with his Father and the Holy Spirit to carry out redemption, to redeem those that the Father had given him. And the idea that he failed to do that is blasphemy as far as I'm concerned, because to think that God is unable to accomplish that which he sets out to do and has promised to do for thousands of years certainly would put man, exalt man higher than God. And this is the theme of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And so the light of men, the light of life that God has given men, has made them a moral creature. And they know good from evil, because they are made in the image of God, and they set them apart from all other animals. That's why it's ridiculous to say that man evolved from animals, because there's as much difference between a person made in the image of God and an animal as it is between a man and an angel, I would say. You would have just as much ability to make yourself a man above an animal as you would to make yourself an angel. And so the this power is of God, and he is the one that made us and in his own image. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so here we move from that which God has made and decreed to that which is believed, and the results of receiving or believing on him. So he says that he came into his own received him not. He came into the world knew him not. But some did receive him. And to them that received him, he gave the power or the right to become the sons of God. And this is experimental. This is not putting your name in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. This is not what that means, that when a man receives Christ, that God writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life was written from the foundation of the world. It's always too late to be adding names to it now and taking them out. So it means that when people hear the gospel and believe the promises about the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel, then it's manifested to them by the power of the Holy Spirit to feel free to call God their Father, that they feel to be sons of God, that they feel to be have fellowship again with God. Because of their natural sinful condition, they are alienated from God, the scripture says. The mind, the natural mind, in its sinful condition, is at enmity with God. In other words, it says, I will not have this man to rule over me. I will do my thing. I'll do it my way, thank you. And they write songs about that. I'm doing it my way. Man loves to boast about doing things his way. And that's the way the natural mind is.